Good afternoon, everyone. We're so glad and very excited to be together again as children of the United Hearts. It's been a long time, and we're, as you probably feel as well, very sorrowful that we weren't able to meet this year during an event. But I think we all feel this sense of peace and joy, knowing that we're responding to God the Father's in heavens through Blessed Mother's requests for prayer and following the messages and trying to spread them. And thank God for the triple blessing card that he's given to us. We've got a real nice talk to look forward to today. The title of this whole program is Facilitating the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The agenda for the day, Father Mike will take us through opening prayers, then he will give his talk on the road to the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary / the United Hearts. We'll have a Q&A session and closing prayers. We expect this to go somewhere between probably 1.5 to 2 hours. Please submit questions you may have during the live cast to livecast@holylove.org. We've already received several questions. Don't be shy. Your name will not be mentioned. There is no bad question. With that, let's ask Father Mike to lead us in prayer.
God the Father says, before you enter into prayer to pray, call on Mary, protectress of the faith and refuge of holy love. Call on Joseph, terror of demons as well. Mary, protectress of the faith and refuge of holy love, and Joseph, terror of demons, join us now as we enter into prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, say, I join my prayers to every prayer that was ever prayed and every prayer that ever will be prayed. Our Lady says, before you begin to pray, say, Heavenly Father, I give you my love. Take this prayer as a morsel of love from my heart and wrap it in divine love. Make this prayer an instrument of your divine will. I unite my prayers to all the prayers being prayed around the world in this present moment. Consecration to the United Hearts. Most worthy United Hearts of Jesus and Mary, I willingly consecrate myself this day to you. I surrender to you all that I own, both interior and exterior. Let my life be a continual hymn of praise to your most holy United Hearts. Take the victories and defeats of this moment into your hearts. Use them as you need them to bring about your triumphant reign. Amen. The consecration of the heart of the world to the United Hearts. Most compassionate United Hearts of the Most Holy Trinity and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, accept this my prayer on behalf of the heart of the world. Awaken the heart of the world to the truth of the difference between good and evil. Inspire each soul to consecrate their hearts and their lives to the United Hearts, thereby strengthening the heart of the world in this resolve. We beg you, dear United Hearts, pour the grace of your inspiration into the heart of the world, strengthening it in truth and in holy love. In this heavenly inspiration, draw the heart of the world into union with the will of God. Amen. Consecration to the cross. My Jesus, I consecrate myself this day to your holy cross. Just as you took upon yourself that great cross for the sake of all humanity, so I vow to embrace the crosses in my life. Everything I suffer, I give back to you, my sweet Jesus, to atone for my sins and those of all the world. I will begin and end each day at the foot of your cross, together with our most blessed mother and Saint John, our brother. My only pleasure will be to comfort you, my sweet Savior. Amen. Good afternoon, everyone from Ohio. I'm Father Mike Flynn, and I'm glad to be here for this afternoon and this prayer and talk on the road to the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it's in really in conjunction with the United Hearts, because the United Hearts are really the triumph also, because Blessed Mother is always in union with her Son Jesus and the Holy Trinity. You know, the significance of the message of Fatima from over 100 years ago still rings true today, that in these end times, the promise given by Our Lady would be upheld by God. My Immaculate Heart will triumph, she said at Fatima. But what about the third secret and the mystery behind its message? A couple weeks ago, I received an email from somebody who had gotten a hold of an extract from a message of Fatima that was given in a new German newspaper on October the 5th, 1963. It was by Louis Emmerich. Its message really impressed diplomatic circles in Moscow. Pope Paul VI permitted not only Kennedy but Khrushchev to have a look at this third part of the secret, in which Our Mother revealed in 1917. Those who directed world politics were appalled by its contents, just as Pope Pius XII, Pope John XXIII, and Pope Paul VI had been. On that day, the Blessed Virgin showed herself for the third time to the three children, Jacinta, Francesco, and Lucy. The Mother of God revealed a special message to Lucy, which states in particular, "Do not be troubled, dear child. I am the Mother of God who is speaking to you and asking that you announce the following message to the entire world in my name. On doing so, you will meet with strong opposition. But be strong in faith and you will triumph over all opposition. Listen carefully now and remember what I tell you. Good people must be better. They must implore God to forgive the sins they have committed and will in the future commit. You ask me for a sign, so all may comprehend the words which I am addressing to mankind through you. You have just beheld a miracle of the Son. Everybody saw it, believers and non-believers, and now announce it in my name, as other miracles will surely follow in the future. But first, a great chastisement will come over all mankind. What I had already announced at La Salette through the children Melanie and Maximum, I repeat to you now. Humanity has not developed as God has desired. Mankind has been sacrilegious and has trampled underfoot the wonderful blessing of God. No longer does order reign anywhere. Even in the highest places, Satan reigns and directs the course of events. Satan will succeed in filtering into the highest positions in the church. Satan will also succeed in sowing confusion in the minds of scientists who design weapons that can destroy great portions of mankind in short periods. Satan will gain hold of heads of nations and will cause these destructive weapons to be mass-produced. If mankind will not oppose these evils, I will be obligated to let the arm of my Son drop in vengeance. If chief rulers of the world and the church will not actively oppose these evils, I will ask God my Father to bring his justice to bear on mankind. Then will God punish mankind even more severely than he did at the time of the great deluge. The great and powerful will perish, the same as the lowly and the meek. But a time of very severe trial is also coming for the church. Cardinals will oppose cardinals, and bishops will oppose bishops. Satan will enter into their very midst. In Rome also will occur great changes. What is rotten will fall, and what falls must not be retained. The church will be obscured, and the entire world will be thrown into great confusion. A great warning will come as a sign from heaven if people do not heed it. Fire and smoke will drop from heaven, and the waters of the ocean will turn to steam, throwing their foam to the very sky. Whatever is standing will be overturned. Millions of people will die. Those surviving will envy the dead. Distress, misery, and desolation will be found the world over. The time is growing nearer, and the abyss is ever deepening, and there will be no escape. The good die with the wicked, the great will lowly, the prince of the church with the wicked, the rulers of the nations with their people. Death will reign everywhere, raised to triumph by erring man. The helpers of Satan will be the masters of the earth. These evils will come at a time when no one expects it. Nevertheless, it must come as punishment and revenge in accordance with God's plan. The age of ages is coming, the end of all ends, if mankind will not repent and be converted, and if this conversion does not come from the rulers of the world and of the church. Woe and greater woe to mankind if conversion does not occur. Later, however, those who survive these trials, if they will repent and will call upon God in submission to his will and become true followers of Jesus Christ, my son, I will gather them as a remnant and become their intercessor, and more woe if that conversion does not occur. So go, my child, and announce it, and I will assist you. So we can see from that message, how prophetic is it? And it is really being fulfilled, I believe, in these times right now. This third secret of Mary, that Mary gave at Fatima in 1917, when you look at it, it was repeated in Akita, Japan, 56 years later in 1973, where she said, quote, "If my people do not repent and better themselves, God will inflict a terrible punishment on humanity, sparing not priest nor faithful. Devout priest will be scorned, and the church will accept compromise," unquote. Well, only Mary's Immaculate Heart and those devoted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary can stop this or mitigate its fulfillment. This applies also to the messages of the Chambers of the United Hearts. I believe that beyond just the personal journey of holiness through the chambers, we have a journey that the church is going through also. This is what I call on the road to the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and of the United Hearts. What does the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary signify? Well, the messages of holy love give us an indication. I'll just give you a few of them, for example. On May the 7th, 1994, a Blessed Mother said, "I come especially to help you realize my call to holy love is the same call of John the Baptist in the desert. For I desire to baptize hearts in holy love so as to prepare them for my son's second coming. Through holy love, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and my son's Eucharistic heart will reign." And on January the 25th, Our Lady came in blue and white in 1995. I invite you to realize the power of holy love in your hearts. It is through holy love that my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Please understand, my victorious reign is first in your hearts and then in the world. It is necessary that my victory begins in your heart in the present moment as you embrace holy love. Every measure of grace is afforded to you towards this end. So the promise of the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is really the promise that Our Lady gave at Fatima is continuing on today here at Holy Love. She said in March 26, 2017, "I promised the children of Fatima that in the end my Immaculate Heart would triumph. I offer the same promise today here, despite these troubled times. You live in a world where arrogance reigns in the hearts of many leaders, a world in which weapons of mass destruction are coveted and sought after. During these times before the victory of my heart, I offer you the refuge of my heart, which is holy love. It is in this refuge that you will be given the grace to recognize the difference between good and evil. If souls could always do this, evil would be vanquished and you would have peace and prosperity. And then God would have his rightful place as sovereign over hearts and the world. When my heart, refuge of holy love, triumphs, this will be so. Until then, I can only call you over and over again to live in holy love." On May the 13th, 2017, On the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady came as Our Lady of Fatima, saying, "Today marks the 100th anniversary of my apparitions at Fatima." In 1917, it was a much simpler age, although the world was engaged in war. My warnings and solutions about a worse war would go unheeded until it was too late. Then you would have World War II. Millions died while authorities debated over the authenticity of my message to the world. Today, I continue to come to many nations. Sadly, the same thing is happening, only on a grander scale. The years since my apparitions in Fatima have been marked by wars and intrusive dictatorships, yet my intervention sent from heaven is once again scrutinized and met with skepticism and disbelief. The most important message coming from the world now, into the world now, is holy love. Your victory over the evils which threaten you is the victory of holy love in hearts. You cannot negotiate with evil. You must pray that holy love, through holy love, evil is recognized and conquered through peaceful means. The triumph of my Immaculate Heart will be won with the victory of my Son's Sacred Heart. You have had a peaceful softening of communism, and the Berlin Wall came down without bloodshed. I pray that God's merciful heart will once again soften the hearts of the world. For renewed communism is now taking shape, not only in Russia, but elsewhere. Evil collusions are in the making, involving areas of the world which are continually in a state of mayhem. Turn to God's mercy and pray for holy love to win over hearts. This is my peace plan for the world. Unite behind this effort. She also said on June the 29th, 2019, "These are unfortunate times in which the heart of the world has become estranged from devotion to my Son's most sacred heart and my own Immaculate Heart. There is, however, no lack of need for our help and protection. New tensions arise as a matter of course and often are downplayed by the evils of mass media. God's merciful intervention has been boundless despite man's indifference to his power and the power of prayer. Violence has become the solution to indifferences. Man must allow God's power to augment his human weakness. The victory of my Immaculate Heart will be marked by a universal acceptance of holy love in hearts. Papa God will be restored to his rightful place as King of the universe. Until my victory, which is won with the victory of my Son's Sacred Heart, mankind will of necessity need to make choices between good and evil." And so we see here, again, how important it is to see that the victory or the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is dependent on us in our hearts. This is what we are really called to do in holy love, is to spread that message of the heart of the world that they will be, you know, completely in tune with. On June the 20th in 2020, just a few months ago, Our Lady said, "Dear children, I come to you as..." She said, "Dear children, I come to you as Jesus born incarnate sends me to invoke your prayer efforts to bring about the victory of my Immaculate Heart. It is towards this end that I ask you to suffer everything for the defeat of all of Satan's plots against my victory, which is imminent in the world. Greed has replaced the agenda of brotherly love in many prominent leaders' hearts. What has come to be a priority of equal rights has taken over right reason in society these days. See all of this as Satan's last stand before his defeat. It is his desperate attempt at victory. Be true to my call to be soldiers of prayer through the Holy Rosary." Again, we see a lot of this taking shape now. Just in a few months, look at how much greed has been at the forefront in our leaders and corruption. We're seeing more and more the difference between good and evil, which we know is because of the triple blessing and the other blessings that we've received here at Holy Love. So what do we do with this? What does the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary mean for us? How does the triumph of the Immaculate Heart come about? What has been revealed about the triumph so far? And what can we expect to see unfold in the near future? Well, I think so we can look at some messages again. This is what was given on December the 12th, 2009, by Our Lady on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. She said, "I come here seeking your unity in truth, the truth of holy love. Do not be surprised that heaven's call here focuses upon truth, for it is Satan's lies that are leading souls and whole nations astray. When governments began to accept abortion as a legal right, they were in fact surrendering to the father of lies, Satan. They did not gain freedom, but became prisoners of sin. This is when the abyss between heaven and earth began to widen. Now the vessel of justice, my son's heart, is overflowing. I need your cooperation, your unity and truth, to withhold the arm of justice. My son has poured out his mercy at this site and through these messages, but it has been met with such disdain. People and nations continue to choose slavery to sin over freedom and the truth. I came many years ago in an effort to protect the faith, but my protection was scorned. Now you are left with closing of many churches. Churches all over the world stand empty, many in countries which have been given the greatest of graces. You must realize that what you accept or reject in the present affects your future. Today the world has many problems which cannot be solved without God. Through these messages, I am calling souls back to the reality of God's divine will and to pursuit of personal holiness, yet my efforts continue to be misunderstood. So tonight I am here to speak to the remnant faithful, those who will listen and persevere in the truth. The world is about to suffer grave consequences for its dependence on self and not God. Technology will be an enemy of the freedoms which have been taken for granted. Mankind's independent nature, which he has seen as a be-all, end-all, will become even more divisive in the church and in world politics. Please understand, these things must happen by way of purification. It is a purification which will return hearts to the truth that mankind's welfare is in the hands of God. With certainty, understand that the ways in which this mission and messages have been rejected is a sign that such a purification is needed, even imminent. These days, Satan has placed a veil of confusion over the heart of the world, and the reality of evil around and among hearts is not recognized. The New Jerusalem cannot take root in hearts until holy love takes root in hearts. Therefore, see these times as an extension of God's mercy and mission, as an introduction to an age to come, the age of the New Jerusalem. The more holy love is accepted in hearts, the less severe the purification to come. My Immaculate Heart trembles at the thought of what awaits mankind if he chooses not to listen to my call here. The pendulum towards this purification has already begun its downward swing. Time is against you. Hasten to your choice for holy love. Do not allow my call to you go unheeded. If you remember nothing else that I say to you tonight, remember that I have come seeking your unity in the truth of holy love, unity between nations, religions, political ideologies, cardinals and bishops, unity between church officials and this mission. Be of one heart and one mind in holy love. No longer seek the demise of anyone. No longer work covertly to destroy another's reputation. Work towards the common goal of the salvation of souls. I have one last point to bring to you. My hope is that you will stay, that this will stay with you forever. When you see my image, refuge of holy love, you see the crown of victory centered over my heart. Holy love is my Immaculate Heart. Jesus sends me here to gather all people and all nations into my heart, into holy love. The genesis of the New Jerusalem is in and through this transforming holy love in every heart. Hearts which are thus transformed into holy love must impact the world about them, spreading the citizenship of the New Jerusalem through this means, for it is what hearts embrace that will determine the future. I call you to this triumph through holy love." So we see here what Blessed Mother is giving us in that message and some of the other messages that she talks about, where she talks about the purification. She's not only talking about purification in the world, but the purification in the church. She said July the 12th, 1995, in a message to all nations also. She came as Our Lady of Guadalupe. She says, "My son's church will undergo a purification before it is once again united in faith and in tradition. Faction will oppose faction. Bishops oppose bishops. Cardinals oppose cardinals. The true faithful will be scattered and persecuted. Reverence for my son in the Eucharist will diminish even more than it has and become controversial. In all of this, understand that I am your protectress, refuge, and hope. I come to lead you out of the darkness and into the new light and to the new Jerusalem. Through all of this, the remnant church will not succumb. When my Immaculate Heart claims triumph, so too will the Eucharistic heart of my son." I think what we're seeing here is really a fulfillment of the secret of Fatima, the third secret of Fatima. We are seeing basically the end times amongst us. The Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus really speaks about these end times, Matthew chapter 24, look at verses 1 through 31. What we see is really a sequence of events leading to the triumph then, the victory of the Immaculate Heart and of the United Hearts. There are really no timelines here, is what I find in the messages that we receive from Holy Love, but as much as generalizations of what's to come. And so I wouldn't be placing any dates on any of this information that I'm going to give you here, but I would say that there's a pretty good sequence of events that I believe is pretty much in tune with what we're seeing right now. What are we seeing right now? Well, we're seeing a lot of violence, we're seeing a lot of mayhem, a lot of corruption in government. Nobody knows who to trust anymore. We're seeing how much people without faith are relying too much on the mass media and being duped and deceived, because as we know, Satan is really involved in every aspect of social and personal lives, and even in the mass media, especially the mass media. So the Holy Love messages really verify, I would say, the sequence of the end times events that we're seeing. First of all, are what I call the tribulations. This will become before the warning, or the general illumination of conscience. There are no timelines, like I said, but what we could see, and I'll give you, let's say, in terms of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 2, we're seeing, for example, the purification that Our Lady talked about in 1995 here, the purification of the church. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 2, this is what is written down in Matthew's gospel. Jesus left the temple area and was going away when his disciples approached him to point out the temple buildings. He said to them in reply, "You see all these things, do you not? Amen, I say to you, there will not be left here a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." This is a sign because it was predicted by Jesus, not only for the temple of Israel, but also for the temple of his body, the church. And like I said, I think we're seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy right now. The church will pass through the same mystery that Christ passed through, the crucifixion and the going into the tomb. This means the church will be crucified, and now we're entering into the day of crucifixion. The church will be put in the tomb. She will have no more words to pronounce to the nations. She will have no credibility. No one will hear what she has to say. The nations will just throw away the word that they receive. The stones represent the doctrines of the church. How much are the doctrines of the church being attacked now? The stones of the church will be thrown down at the end of ages. For the first time, the doctrine of the church will be attacked. The sacraments will be crushed. When people no longer believe in the sacraments, when people feel no need to pray, to adore Jesus, this will be a sign. That sign is beginning right now. When you look around you, you see false doctrine spreading in so many places, especially in our seminaries, in our universities, in our families, by the media, by every kind of false prophet. This is happening now in our world. And this is addressed also in the messages of holy love. Verifying the sequence of the end times in terms of the tribulations and the purification before the warning, we are seeing in the present moment these minor tribulations, I call minor tribulations, compared to the chastisements coming after the warning. First, it will be anarchy and violence, which has already begun. It is all to be orchestrated and managed by Satan. There will also be dangers between every nation with rumors of war. This period may go on for about 9 months to a year, followed by the Great Warning, I believe. We see, for example, in August 12, 1995, Our Lady of Guadalupe said, "This is the season of the great apostasy and the unfolding and fulfillment of the third secret of Fatima. Therefore, my children, I call you more than ever to come into the refuge of my heart, where I will protect your faith and lead you to sanctity." She also came in November the 7th, 1996. She said, "The time fast approaches when the proud will be scattered in the conceit of their hearts. What has been concealed in the darkness will be laid bare in the light. Then confusion will reign in hearts and lay waste your country's economy. But there is reason to give praise to Jesus even in these times, for this is a sign to you that the triumphant victory of our united hearts is most imminent. Be mindful of the extremes in nature and the path of self-destruction that the human race currently pursues." This was back more than 20 years ago. Also, there was a foretelling of these tribulations and one world government coming. This was given by Blessed Mother on June the 25th, 1997. She came as Our Lady of Fatima. She said, "I come as herald of my son's return. I come to summon all nations into my Immaculate Heart. It is foretold in Scripture what is to come, in Daniel chapter 7. As your mediatrix and advocate, I come to warn you against ungodly union forming amongst nations. In this unity is loss of independence and identity. It will bring no order but disorder. Ahead of you are great trials. The greatest will be suffered by those people who now live sophisticated lives and by nations who have led multitudes astray. The humble of those consecrated to my Immaculate Heart will find peace even in the midst of this adversity, for I will be with them. Great and unforetold are the miracles and the graces that will sustain my little ones during these difficult times. Nations must not seek to be united under an earthly leader, but united in my heart, united in holy love. Pray for government leaders who have compromised mankind's position before God. Pray for church leaders who do not recognize their role in these end times. With your rosary, you can overcome this evil and change the course of coming events, but you must pray." On May the 5th, 1999, Blessed Mother came and a monthly message to all peoples and all nations on the Feast of Mary, Refuge of Holy Love, the second anniversary. Maureen was told that reading Revelation chapter 13 would help understand this message. "Jesus and Blessed Mother are here. Blessed Mother says, know with certainty that my coming to you at this time marks the onset of the last struggle between Satan and the woman clothed with the sun. This is a battle the adversary knows he will not win, as it is written in the end that my Immaculate Heart will triumph. As the victory draws near, you will witness diametrically opposed signs. There will be a scattering of the flock and the confusion of hearts, but a drawing together of the remnant faithful who remain consecrated to me. You will see heroic sanctity and unrivaled evil. Many of my chosen ones will be relieved of certain burdens and protected from devastation. Those devoted to the world will find their fortunes turned to dust. Those who have not surrendered to trust during these times will find their hearts mastered by a spirit of fear. It will be increasingly necessary to recognize Satan in his disguise. You must realize that whatever opposes the law of holy love is evil. The battle between good and evil is really the battle between holy love and evil. There will be signs of wonder and amazement that nature cannot explain away. Certain portents will be seen in the sky. Those who do not understand these times will not recognize them for what they are. This is why the Eternal Father has allowed me to come to you, to place you under my mantle and into the refuge of my heart. I am here as your mother to help you realize the urgency of mankind's return to holiness. Make your life simple. Let your heart center on your relationship with God. So this is, like I said, this is what Our Lady is helping us to prepare for the times to come. We're seeing basically, we are in the tribulations right now, and it's just a matter of time before the illumination of conscience comes about. What is about the great warning then? When the warning comes, which is probably closer than we think, very few people will know that it happened. Most people will be in shock and will be unable to really function for some time. Many businesses will close and civil services will cease. We're seeing this already as a portent, I believe, or an indication of what's going to happen in the future with this COVID-19. The global financial system will end up collapsing. Most people will close themselves off or hide in their homes, thinking that the end of the world is near. The underpinnings are all in place in heaven and on earth. And we have received some holy love messages referring to this warning. I'll give you a couple of them here right now. This is from November the 27th, 1997. Our Lady comes in blue and white. She says, I have come to help you understand that my coming to you is a firm anchor amidst the confusion of the world. This has been a century of misinformation, miscommunication, and indecision. These are all hallmarks of my adversary. This is how he sets good people against my plans here. When he succeeds in getting the good to oppose the good, he is able to confuse others even more. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Clarity and righteousness will be brought into hearts in every issue, both in hearts and in the world. The Holy Love message is much a part of this. This is why it is opposed today. Hearts will be made one with their Creator through Holy Love. She said also on December the 12th, 1997, on the monthly message to all nations, she came as Our Lady of Guadalupe. I come under this title not for one nation or hemisphere, but for all nations and all people. I have come to lead my children out of the desert of confusion and deliver them into the arms of truth. I invite you to have a clear understanding of these times. Now listen closely to this. When my son, the king, returns to review his kingdom, he will come in the sky wielding a sword of flames. His bounty will be the righteous who pursue his unending mercy from age to age. I call you from the death of sin to the light of salvation. When you love, you are victorious. I continue to come to you under the title of Guadalupe so that mankind will pursue reconciliation with God. During this time, all that calls you back to God, faith, prayer, holiness, life itself is opposed and persecuted in the world. My Immaculate Heart is held in contempt by many when it is always and should be a sign of refuge. The angel Gabriel addressed me as full of grace. My grace is not for me, but for all people, all nations. But fear opposes my grace. The adversary uses fear to oppose my words to you on holy love. Those who fear holy love must also fear the triumph of my heart, for it is by this means I will be victorious. No real peace can come into the world through negotiations or war machines. You will have peace only when there is an end to abortion. The triumph is through my Immaculate Heart, which is holy love. On February the 5th, 2003, Jesus came with his heart exposed in a monthly message to the remnant faithful. He said, "The time is coming when all souls will be embraced by my mother's Immaculate Heart, which is the essence of holy love. In the light of that most perfect love, each one will be made to see where he fails in the commandments of love. Within that enlightenment, he will have to choose either for love or for evil. The choice will come through free will and mark an even greater contrast between good and evil in the world. My remnant faithful will be under the protection of my mother's Immaculate Heart. They will be the ones who choose holy love and remain faithful to me. The souls who do not repent, who choose an errant path and try to seek evil and power in the world, will be vanquished. Today, dangers have grown in proportion to the evil that is in hearts. Evil has infiltrated governments, technology, even nature itself. Satan desires that your hearts remain gripped in fear. In this way, my Sacred Heart is wounded by your lack of trust in me. When you live in fear of the future, you cannot surrender the present moment to me. My mother needs your prayers, your sacrifices, your penance. It is by this means that she is able to soothe the heart of her son and bring souls to my mercy. Part of my divine justice is the coming embrace of my mother's Immaculate Heart, which will reveal to all people their transgressions against the divine laws of love." Now listen closely to this. "When this universal sign takes place, the wheat will become separated from the chaff. Then you will be able to know me as never before, especially in the sacred species of the Holy Eucharist, if you choose love over evil." So you see here, I believe Jesus is mentioning in that message, this is the sign of the warning, that everything will be brought to light, not only just for us, but for the whole world. But those who respond have to make a decision. First of all, I'll start off with March the 18th, 1995. "A lady came here in white and gold on her head. She says, 'I come so that souls will be reconciled to God. I wish to make known to you the refuge of my heart is the gateway to the New Jerusalem. Jesus is allowing this site of my prayer center to be a refuge of peace in the world, where souls will be able to find the truth, where conversion will occur, and people will answer my call to holiness. It will be as though my Immaculate Heart is already victorious at this site. My victory will be in every heart that converts. This will be a spiritual refuge,' she said, 'not a physical refuge. Do not imagine that the cross is not a part of my victory. For in the present, the cross is a very real means of salvation and victory both in the ministry and in your lives. Indeed, it is by your cooperation with grace through prayer and sacrifice that we will be victorious together.'" She said again on April 5th, 1995, as Our Lady of Fatima, "Today I come to remind you to have every confidence in the grace and refuge of my Immaculate Heart. It is Satan who tries to make you lose focus and makes everything seem most desperate. My victory or triumph is coming, and with it the glorious reign of my Son's Eucharistic Heart on earth. It is then that ideologies will be harmonious, faith will be pure and unadulterated once again, and people will be united in truth and in peace. However, in the preceding time, the hideous reign of the Antichrist, both in hearts and in the world, Satan will continue to use to bring division as a tactic to bring down the good and uphold evil. This is why I call you to reconcile yourselves and find refuge in my heart, my Immaculate Heart. There is no other attainable goal of merit, for no good lives outside of my heart." Here at Holy Love, we know that there is the truth here, so there will be many that will be coming here. And we see that again in some of the messages from Holy Love. Just give you a couple of them here.
At the midnight service in the United Hearts Field, at the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady came today, dear children, she said, you live in troubled times. Fallen angels, demons are all around you in all walks of life, and according to God's divine plan, you do not see trials as liberation, just as you do not see freedom in the cross. I've come so that you may be strong in accepting of the cross. Certain events will unfold in time, which will usher in a new age of holy love and divine love in the refuge of the remnant faithful. Do not become fearful then, for the times are coming upon you where you will have to make a decision for or against holy love. But live in faith, hope, and love, and always trust. Seek your refuge in my mother's heart, which is holy love. She said, my dear children, you do not face this desperate hour alone, but safe in my Immaculate Heart. It is here that I shelter you, reveal certain dangers to you, and console you. I've come to tell you that my victory and my remnant faithful will be bound by the same cord, which is the confraternity of our united hearts. The Eternal Father so deems that this lowly handmaid should share the victory with Jesus, King and Redeemer. Pray your rosaries often and with much love, for this is the path that Satan cannot touch you, cannot follow you upon. This is the path of love, pursuit of salvation. While there are many obstacles and perils around you, I have come to protect you in my Immaculate Heart and offer you a safe place of refuge. And together we can hope for the light of victory. On March the 5th, 2003, Jesus and Blessed Mother were here on a monthly message to the remnant faithful. Jesus says, I come to all people and every nation today to help you decide. These are the times of which my mother came into the world to warn you about. Free will must choose between war or peace, between tradition or of faith or spurious imitation. The choices are not clearly defined, as evil masquerades as good and good is convoluted to appear as evil. Today your safety and peace is not in false promises, treaties that are not honored, or in man-made forms of worship and false gods. You must seek out the ark of my mother's Immaculate Heart, which is holy love itself. Deep within the shelter of this magnificent flame of pure love, you will find your answers, your choices, your peace. When free will tries to form peace around his own ideas and outside of the formula of holy love, then efforts fail. History tells you so. You have had war after war over the last century. Please understand that mankind's efforts towards peace that fail often lead to justifiable war. This is so when countries bullies another, or chooses subterfuge and deceit over truth, or disregards human rights. I remind you that holy love must be the inspiration and the core of all peace efforts, for holy love calls the soul to simplicity of heart, humility of heart, and truth itself. As we know from reading the messages of holy love, God the Father is even mentioned besides Jesus, that we have the Antichrist in our midst. He just hasn't emerged yet. On June the 5th, 2005, at a midnight service at the United Hearts Field, the Feast of the United Hearts, Jesus says, I come to remind you that the mission of this ministry is to bear my Sacred Heart to the world. My heart is divine love, a flame given to consume all that obstructs holiness of heart. With this flame, I will illuminate the conscience of the world and purify the heart of my church. I take delight in the childlike soul, the soul that awaits my dictate and delights in fulfilling my smallest desire. You are now living in difficult times, an era set apart from all others. It is a time consumed by hedonism and self-love. It is an age of error. But also it is an age of fulfillment of prophecy. Divine love will be the wing of victory upon which I will return. Therefore, no enemy will prevail against this mission or in places of refuge that I have established. Those who oppose it oppose my Sacred Heart and will be crushed by defeat. I reveal this to you, not so that you will rejoice, but to inspire you to pray for your enemies. It is this, in this way, that Satan's hands will be bound. I've come to shower the world with my merciful love. Indeed, it is this merciful love that is calling you into the New Jerusalem. You will experience periods of tribulation, interspersed with periods of my merciful love. As the New Jerusalem draws closer, you will be given a deeper and deeper understanding of God's divine will. It is my Father's will that shall triumph and reign in the end through our united hearts. And so, number six here. In terms of the, in terms of Jesus' return, again, he said that on August the 30th, 2016, just 4 years ago, he said, there are many victories of my Immaculate Heart, the greatest of which is when my Son returns and casts Satan into hell. However, before that great day, the victory of good over evil in each heart is a triumph that I will cherish. Of course, a great victory would be the illumination of the heart of the world as to where each soul stands before God. You are never far from sharing in my next victory when you pray for the welfare of all people and all nations. In some soul, a great difference will be accomplished, the victory of good over evil. And so what Jesus is telling us here is that we will see him, of course, you know, at the time of the general warning, you know, he'll be coming in the sky, but we will also see him at the end of the chastisements also. And so at the end of the chastisements, what will occur at the end of the chastisements? Well, Jesus said on June the 14th, 2015, at Fatima, the children were told that in the end, my mother's Immaculate Heart would triumph. This would be a triumph of truth. Our united hearts will reign in truth. This triumph will not come until every evil agenda, however, is exposed by the light of truth. It is then that the heart of my Father will take up its dominion over the heart of the world. There will be a clear endorsement by heaven as to the authenticity of every genuine apparition site, such as this one. The triumph will begin with a lasting peace, a peace ordered and maintained by my Father, an era of peace based on truth, where there will be no evil. When the triumph of our united hearts comes, there will be no more controversies. All opinions will be united in truth. Good will be united with good, and only then will mankind realize what an evil time in history this has been. Only then will mankind comprehend my patient mercy. There will be a time, as Jesus mentioned in that message that I gave, the last message before that, that he would be coming back. So not just at the general illuminations, but at the end of the chastisements. Why? Because Satan would be allowed to finish off, God would allow him to finish off what we call the 3 days of darkness. So after the 3.5 year reign, what will occur is God will allow a darkness to ensue. This is really what we're seeing in terms of the sequence, what I call the road to the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And in the end, this will last for who knows how long, the era of peace. But there is, as many visionaries have said before in the past, that this will not be the end of the world as we know it, where Jesus will come back to for the final judgment. That will occur after this era of peace is over with. Somehow Satan will be released, and then the final judgment will come upon everybody. So what I wanted to really emphasize is that through these messages of holy love, you know, we're seeing the fulfillment of the end times coming about, and it's through the triumph of the Immaculate Heart and the United Hearts that this will occur. Well, how can we, as the children of the United Hearts, help this, you know, help bring this about, especially in terms of our loved ones? How do we get through to those people that are our relatives and friends, you know, and help them to understand what holy love is really all about? Because this is where the refuge is. It's in Our Lady's Immaculate Heart and in the United Hearts. Again, this is where the consecration to the family of the United Hearts and the confraternity of the United Hearts comes into play. But first of all, we have to be missionary servants of holy love. Just think about what was involved with the missionary servants of Holy Love when it was first brought on the scene, how people had to, for 3 days, do what was required of them in terms of disseminating messages, praying the prayers that were needed, and that sort of thing. It was an indication, as Our Lady had told them, that it would be like going through the 3 days of darkness. So it's really a preliminary aspect of what her triumph of her Immaculate Heart will be all about. And so I think that's really why it's really necessary. And God has given us these messages in the past, you know, in terms of the chambers of the United Hearts, to help us see that you have to become a missionary servant of Holy Love first in order to become part of the confraternity of the United Hearts and go through the journey of personal holiness through the chambers. Well, just realize that the journey through the chambers of the United Hearts is not just a personal journey for yourself, which is true, but it's also for those that you can teach others. That was the reason why the confraternity was first given in the first place. The confraternity was first envisioned and first given by Archbishop Ganaka to help a lay organization be developed that they could learn the journey through the chambers of the United Hearts and then teach it to others throughout the world. Again, this is the same thing that we're seeing right now, that through prayer and sacrifice, through the conversion of the heart of the world into the New Jerusalem, beginning with the family consecration of the United Hearts, and then going into the journey of personal holiness through the chambers of the United Hearts, through that spiritual journey, we can help those in our families and friends to understand the times that are upon us now and those times that are still to come. And then hopefully have them come here and receive those graces so that they won't have to go through that part of the tribulations, to go through that part of the general illumination of conscience, which we will all receive, but at least it will be mitigated and they won't die of fear. This is one of the things that I really want to really emphasize in this last part of this talk. And with that aspect, I just want to say thank you for listening to this this talk, and I hope that each and every one of you will receive the great triple blessing of God the Father and discern with the chambers of the United Hearts your role with living in these end times. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Mike. At this time, we'll go into a Q&A period. And we have several questions that have been submitted. Let's see. So if you do have questions, please go ahead and submit them now. All right. Let's see. Another question. Can I consecrate my family members to the United Hearts, even though all of them are not interested or believe in God, or would I tell them about Holy Love? So can somebody consecrate others to the United Hearts?
No, it should be, you know, it should be in conjunction with your family. I would say we start with your family. What I would suggest, and I've suggested this to other people too, I did this with my own family, you know. I just made it like part of like for example, in the United States here, we have Thanksgiving Day, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, gathering family and whatnot. Well, about 4 or 5 years ago, I took the family consecration prayers, and I asked before we said grace at our meal, that, you know, all my members of my family would recite the prayers of the consecration of the United Hearts, and they all did it.
Yeah. So you gave them an opportunity, but even if they did, it's really what's in their heart.
Right.
So you may not know. They may just...
But the time will come where they will know.
They will.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a way to try to accomplish that. Yeah. Again, it has to do with free will, right? Okay. I believe I will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. I'm 60 plus. How does one dialogue with those who scoff that we are living in the end times?
How does it what?
How does one dialogue with those who scoff that we are living, you know, kind of reject that we're living in the end times?
Well, it's just like with Holy Love messages, you know. We've received messages, you know, before You know, I remember Jesus giving us some messages at Blessed Mother, too, early on about, you know, you just present them with the information that you have, and if they reject it, then so be it. You know, I mean, you can't worry about it, you know, why they scoff at it or not.
Yeah, I know, it's a fine line sometimes. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear it. They don't have to be, they can remain ignorant of it. But once you tell them, I've got to make a decision, mm-hmm. right? So, and a lot of people don't like to be put in that position.
Yeah.
So, all right, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe this election will be the last election in this era as we know it, before the chastisements come and the triumph of her heart. But many say no one knows the day or hour. True, but aren't we supposed to know the signs of the times and prepare? Question.
Mm.
Agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
And what are the biggest signals that we are at the end of this age as we know it, besides the fact that most people have lost their minds now?
I think that's a good indication right there.
True. It's when you think it can't get any worse.
Yeah.
It seems to. Okay.
I mean, we're certainly being, and I think a lot of it has to do with the seal of discernment and the triple blessing. The graces that we've received here, I'm seeing, and I've talked with other Holy Love people seeing things that I never thought I would see, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you talk about it with others, it's sort of like, look at you like, what are you talking about, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, they have no clue.
That's true.
I mean, it's
either plugging
it's,
without, or not.
It's like turning on a light, you know? Mm-hmm. You can see, all of a sudden everything is revealed to you, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas many people just choose to remain in the darkness.
Right, and that's one of the advantages of the triple blessing,
yeah.
right? Clarity between good and evil. That might be part of our problem, you know, if we have those graces that people that come here and then we go out and try to talk to others, they don't see it and we don't
right.
understand.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah.
We've received several messages recently about being the example, living in the present moment.
Yeah.
I kind of envision not talking as much as doing.
Yeah.
Right? The talking can turn a lot of people off. Especially,
yeah.
I know myself, I don't have a good way of communicating many times, especially these things. But we've heard the terms pre-tribulation, great tribulation, and post-tribulation. What is the definition of these tribulation periods?
The definition?
Yeah, it was pre-trib. What does trib mean?
Right, great, right,
what
right.
does post-trib
yeah.
mean? Just
pre-tribulation would be like, I would say pre-tribulation would be like minor tribulations. I mean, what we're going through now, I think, is minor tribulations or pre-tribulations.
Okay.
But because what we're about to see with the chastisements, people are going to be like...
What period are we in now? And, you know, I guess... You said pre-trib, but
yeah.
what would be a definition, or what do you think you would see during a great tribulation period, and how is it relative to illumination of conscience? Do you see that illumination occurring at the end of the pre-trib, or kicking off the great tribulation, or during the great tribulation? Do you have any opinion on that?
Again, you know, like I said at the beginning, it's like it's generalizations. You can't really pinpoint,
no.
you know, a specific time or a specific event,
mm-hmm.
because, like, you know, like God the Father has said, you know, that, and Blessed Mother Jesus has told us, you know, our prayers can change the future of the world.
That's right. That's right. And actually, when you said that, I found this message while you were reading, and it was very consoling message, because it was given, let's see here, August 5th, 2019, the Feast of Blessed Mother's true birthday. Blessed Mother said, "Dear children, thank you for sharing my birthday with me today. It is 1 year closer
mm-hmm.
to the purification of the world. 1 year closer to the victory of my Immaculate Heart, 1 year far distant since my warnings at Fatima. Your prayers over the last year have postponed wars, changed weather patterns, and overcome tragedies in the making. While you see much that needs to change, I see progress. So I tell you, continue to love me and to pray, pray, pray."
Right.
So we keep getting this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that's really, I guess it's kind of like illuminating to me over the years, you know. There's certain people that I've talked about, you know, that when you tell them that, you know, like, for example, the earthquake in Haiti that was a few years back, you know, said, you know, you would tell them that it was because of what was going on in Haiti with witchcraft and that sort of thing, and they say, they look at you like, what are you talking about? It's like, this is just natural resources, you know. They don't realize that the earth, we are connected to the earth, you know. Our spiritual well-being goes hand in hand. Yes, we were thrown out of paradise, but we're still connected, you know. And when the new era comes, when the new Jerusalem comes, it's going to change. Everything's going to change. That's showing you that because in the new era, the remnant faithful will not be sinning. That's why you're going to see the creation being renewed.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Let's continue here. I'm looking forward to the presentation on Saturday. I have a couple of questions. When we pray for the conversion of the heart of the world, are we praying for the illumination of conscience?
I think what we're doing is, again, you know, I go back to John's gospel, you know, when he talks about the world, what he's talking about is hearts, you know, and you know, like when he was, I mean, during the first days of Christianity, I mean, most of the hearts in the world were not not towards God. They were toward these false gods and idols and whatnot, you know. So what was the question again?
When we pray for the conversion of the heart of the world, are we praying for the illumination of conscience?
I think we're praying for...
I think the word conversion is the
conversion.
Key.
Conversion.
The word conversion is the key. So will everyone receive it at the same time, this illumination of conscience?
Yes, the general illumination of conscience, I believe it's going to be all at the same time, and it'll be probably for like 15 minutes or something, where each soul will see his soul as God sees it. As I mentioned before, you know, that those who are great sinners, you know, those will see their soul, you know, like disfigured, you know, they'll be seeing that, you know, they may die of fright, you know. Those who, you know, are not as great sinners, you know, they see, oh, I need to go to confession or whatnot, you know. So it depends, again, it depends on what they decide, what their free will is, you know. We can't know that. I mean, we don't know what's in people's hearts. I mean, obviously, God knows that more than we do.
Yeah, and Maureen doesn't get details on that.
Right.
So, that we know of. So, in terms of events in the end times, what part of time of the timeline are we living in now? It's really God's ways and not our ways.
Right.
We have no idea.
Right.
He can change things. Look what he did in the election.
Yeah.
2016 and other areas.
I think, though, I mean, like I said, timelines, you know, I'm not going on timelines, you know, because, again, things can change with prayer, for example. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm giving this talk, to really encourage people, you know, to pray even more effectively than ever before, you know, because, you know, especially the rosary, it can change things, you know. I don't think it's going to, I think scripture has to be fulfilled, you know, so the book of Revelation has to be fulfilled. It's just a matter of how extreme, you know. I mean, we can mitigate what will happen through our prayers,
right?
You know, it has to unfold, though.
Yeah,
you know, it has to come about.
Okay. Which you emphasized, as prayer leaders of the Children of United Hearts, we need to get more people becoming missionary servants of holy love.
Yeah.
Consecrating their hearts to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yeah, it's really important.
That'll bring,
you know,
her triumph about one heart at a time.
Yeah.
And that's one way to do it, right? And I don't remember where I heard this, but somebody had implied that there was, you know, a number of hearts that were consecrated to her Immaculate Heart would bring about her triumph. This was a long time ago. I don't know the source, but it just gave me the impression that the more people that embrace the truth of Blessed Mother and her role, and this is one way to do it,
yeah,
consecrate themselves to the Immaculate, as St. Maximilian Kolbe encouraged, mm-hmm, and John Paul II, the better off the world will be.
Yeah.
And the sooner this illumination will come.
Yeah.
Because it really is, this illumination is her triumph.
That's true. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, by more and more people becoming consecrated to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, you know, it hastens, mm-hmm, Jesus' return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what a way to honor her. Fourth commandment, our Heavenly Mother, is to, you know, to consecrate our hearts to her Immaculate Heart. And then as Jesus encouraged us by giving us a simple prayer to pray, become a confraternity member, which, by the way, I did want to ask you, or just bring up this. Many people are maybe remembering the old requirements to be a confraternity member, so they shy away from it. They think the obligation is too much. They can't do it. Those obligations have been tempered to consider the person's state of life and positions that they're in, whether they're, you know, single moms or working hard to,
yeah,
support a family or whatever. They may not be able to do everything that's in the confraternity handbook.
Right.
That's to encourage them to become a member and no longer discourage them from the amount of things that are,
right,
are
right,
mentioned.
Right.
Would you like,
yeah,
to add or say something?
Yeah, I mean, what I would really, really like to encourage people to do is, and I noticed this before when we were doing retreats on the United Hearts, for example, I would go to give talks in about the chambers, okay? Mm-hmm. And many people who attended our retreats were also involved with the divine will, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so encumbered with all these prayers that were asked of them, you know,
mm-hmm,
that they lost sight of what the goal was, mm-hmm, you know. So I encourage people to say, you know, follow the messages, not so much in terms of, you know, what prayers you have to say, you know, mm-hmm, what requirements you have, but in terms of helping your spiritual life to grow. Mm. Because when you do that, everything else will fall into place. You know, once your, yeah, spiritual life, you know, when you become closer and closer to God, you know, and this is what is explained in the Chambers of the United Hearts book, you know, as you go deeper and deeper into the chambers, you know, becoming closer to God, you have this desire,
mm-hmm,
to be even more holy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can use that, hold the triple blessing card and ask,
right,
for that.
So it's not a matter of, you know, well, if I say these prayers and this is what's, mm-hmm, going to happen. It's more, yeah, of like,
it's in the heart,
coming closer in relationship to God. That's what it really comes down
Everything
to.
Everything else will follow suit. In the Holy Love messages, God is always telling us to discern how we are being led by leaders. Conservative leaders have outlined how the shutdown and things going along with it, like wearing masks, social distancing, et cetera, are concerning for many reasons, including that they seem like an attempted takeover by various groups. But in the Holy Love messages, we have been told to comply with the shutdowns and social distancing, masks, et cetera. How can these two be? God cannot be wrong. What is it that we're not understanding?
I don't think it's a matter of understanding. I think it's a matter of us seeing the reality. I mean, we're Christians living in a world that's non-Christian for the, mm-hmm, most part, you know. But God works with that. You know, this,
yeah,
is what St. Paul had to go through, you know.
Yeah.
And trying to get the Corinthians to convert, for example, or whatever, you know. This is what holy love is all about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We work with what we have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're Christians, we're living in the world, but we're not of the world.
It is easy to neglect spiritually preparing when there is so much fear and uncertainty for what is to come. How can we avoid getting distracted by material preparations for the apocalypse?
How can we what again?
How can we avoid getting distracted by material preparations for the apocalypse? It's easy to neglect spiritually preparing when there's so much fear and uncertainty based on the future. How can we keep from getting distracted by material preparation? So, it's almost like the material preparations are driving the fear, uncertainty, not knowing if we'll have enough. You kind of addressed it before. God can create out of nothing. He's a creator, right? There's books about angels and real testimonies about how they've provided. God allowed them to provide. If God wants you here, he'll make sure there's a way that you will be here.
Yeah.
We have to trust him and live in that peace. It's true, but not just, you have to do. Grace comes with doing.
Right.
You just can't sit back.
You can't just sit back and say, okay, God, do your thing.
Right.
It's like that old joke, about, the guy waiting on the top of his house on a flood and waiting for him to be rescued by God,
Yeah. Exactly. We got a few more questions, and I think what I'll do is I have a message that Blessed Mother actually just gave us June 20th, 2020, on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Blessed Mother says, "Dear children, I come to you as Jesus, born incarnate, sends me to invoke your prayer efforts to bring about the victory of my Immaculate Heart. It is towards this end that I ask you to suffer everything for the defeat of all of Satan's plots against my victory, which is imminent in the world. Greed has replaced the agenda of brotherly love in many prominent leaders' hearts. What has come to be a priority of equal rights has taken over right reason in society these days. Satan's last efforts in the world are based upon love of self, which opposes self-respect and love of God. His first commandment is to love self above all else. Satan is even pulling souls from out of the world to form his own evil band of followers who are becoming more and more open in their evil efforts. Dear children, see all of this as Satan's last stand before his final defeat. It is his desperate attempt at victory. Be true to my call to be soldiers of prayer through the Holy Rosary. I will embrace your efforts." So we can see, she sees everything going on, and God sends her into the world to give us this message. And she recognizes and points out what's going on in the present moment. She puts it in perspective, so we understand it, so we don't get fearful. She's saying this is Satan's last efforts. They're based upon love of self, which we see. So she gives us an understanding, the reasons for what's going on. So we see it for what it is, a spiritual battle. And we don't get caught up in this fear. That's really important to understand, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be told this. She's holding our hand during these times. She's giving us instructions, directions as a good mother would to help us through these times. She's saying, pray through it. Understand it's Satan's last stand before his final defeat. We know who wins. That's where our hope comes from. We got the end in mind. It's Satan's desperate attempt at victory. He knows, and we know, and God knows, he's not going to win. He's acting like he's got the upper hand, but he truly doesn't. He wants us to believe that. We refuse to believe it. This will enable us to do what she says in this sentence, be true to my call to be soldiers of prayer through the Holy Rosary. So pick up the rosary, pray it. She says, I will embrace your efforts. All we need to do a lot of times is just take one or two sentences and hold on to them. And they get us through anything that we're going through. Recently, you probably remember God the Father told us to focus on him during prayer, center our thoughts on him. He's making it even easier to pray now. This message has a scripture that's really important for us to remember as well. She gives us Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that was June 20th, 2020. Very, very important message for these times that we're in and going through. A few more questions here, Father Mike. How can we best prepare for the triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart? I think we've talked about that. You know, right now, pray, repent, go to confession, right? Be in a state of grace.
Yeah.
That would be individual preparation. Right. So it's spiritual preparation, right? I mean, that's the soul lasts forever.
That's right.
If you're going to prepare anything, prepare that, right?
Yeah.
How can we help our brothers and sisters get through all of this if they are clueless? First of all, do they want to get through it?
Yeah.
Right? You can't help someone if they don't want to be helped.
That's right.
Right? So a lot of times it's waiting for them to come to you if they ask. So if they, assuming they ask, how do we help them?
Right.
Where do we direct them depending on where they might be? You know, you had mentioned.
Yeah, first of all, you have to find out where they are, you know, spiritually, you know. If they, you know, are they pretty much, you know, devoid of all faith whatsoever? I mean, it's just a matter of.
What's your phone number? direct them to Father Mike. No, but, you know, you're right. Need some direction.
Yeah.
You know, if they come into you, it's hard. It has to be done in humility.
Yeah.
Gentleness. I mean, I don't know. The nice thing is if they come to you, they're open. The heart's open, right? It's getting them to that point, praying them to that point a lot of times. A lot of times we can't do it. Obviously, we never do it. God does it.
Yeah, right. God is the one that does it anyway.
Yeah, so we pray. All right, and then when that time comes, I guess pray again while they're asking. You know, please help me. Blessed Mother Mary, invoke Mary, protector of the faith, refuge of holy love, Saint Joseph, right, for help and guidance, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I would definitely ask them. You know, again, spiritually, you know, ask your guardian angel to talk to their guardian angel. Mm.
Perfect.
You know, put it on their heart. You know.
Yeah, didn't we get a message on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. All right, you read Blessed Mother's message of July 29, 2019, which she gave on the Feast of her Immaculate Heart, that the victory of my Immaculate Heart will be marked by a universal acceptance of holy love in hearts. Do you see this as a worldwide illumination of consciences?
I see it. I think the way I interpreted that was that... it would be the result of the illumination of conscience and then the chastisements. I think that this would occur. It would be universal acceptance of a remnant.
Okay.
You know, it's like when we were talking about with the Church of Atonement. Remember we were doing the Church of Atonement and how the universal church, you know, in order to get back to the universal church, it would have to be a remnant, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Because of the state that the church is in right now.
Okay. On August 29, 2016, part of this message says, mankind will be so weak, and this is from Our Lady, Queen of Heaven and Earth. Let me just read it. It's here. Those who are spiritually wise can connect the woes of the world with the woes of the unborn in the womb. Most cannot. The hatred that is hidden in hearts will take over current events around the world, the horror of which is yet untold. Again, this is August 29th, 2016. Mm-hmm. Mankind will be so weakened by his dependency on himself that he will of necessity turn to God. A victory of my immaculate heart will come as a universal awakening of man's state before God and his need of repentance. It is then man will know he can turn to me, his heavenly mother, in his desire to come closer to my son. Until then, I lean upon you, my remnant faithful, to teach and to encourage those around you. Question is, why does she say a victory? It mm-hmm. kind of implies there's multiple victories of her immaculate heart.
Yeah, I really don't know why
okay.
she say a victory.
All right. So there again, a victory of my immaculate heart will come as a universal awakening.
Right.
There's the connection with the illumination of consciousness.
Well, let me preface that. Maybe what she's saying there is that that each person who is consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, that's a victory for her.
Okay.
So this is just one of many victories.
All right.
You know, it's just that it's more general than each okay. soul.
The other thought I had was maybe the ultimate victory is the coming of the New Jerusalem, the elimination of evil altogether and totally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll...
Right?
Well, that'll be like... I mean, that's what it. I really see as being the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. That's the end goal, you know? It's like you were talking to me before, you know?
Yeah.
When we do these talks, you said, look at the end goal. Well, the end goal is the New Jerusalem.
Right.
You know, that'll show you that the victory or the triumph of the United Heart, of the Immaculate Heart and the United Hearts have taken place.
Okay. All right. So, because after the illumination, right, you had mentioned there'll be a period of peace. And then the implication is there'll be good and evil. There won't be anything right. in between. So the two will still exist.
Right.
That final victory will not occur for a period of time afterwards. So, okay. So maybe that's why she says a victory.
Yeah.
And it was a capital V on victory. All right. Well, that's it for our questions. Let's move on to closing prayers at this point. And we'll wrap this up and ask Father Mike to give us a final blessing at the end.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Lord Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer thee the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Almighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Almighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Almighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. We will now venerate the five wounds of Christ, saying once for each wound, My Jesus, I love and venerate your sacred wounds by whose merit I am redeemed. My Jesus, I love and venerate your sacred wounds by whose merit I am redeemed. My Jesus, I love and venerate your sacred wounds by whose merit I am redeemed. My Jesus, I love and venerate your sacred wounds by whose merit I am redeemed. My Jesus, I love and venerate your sacred wounds by whose merit I am redeemed.
First of all, I just want to thank everyone for joining us on a live stream today. It was good to get together again. We hope to be doing these more often. We think they're very important to stay connected. If you have any further questions or suggestions, just submit them to livecast@holylove.org. We want to thank Father Mike and Dave France for making this possible today. And thank Blessed Mother and, of course, Donna Maureen and their prayers for this live cast. With that, Father Mike, would you mind saying
the
final prayer?
In the Son of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the graces of this time and the revelation to us of the united hearts, and especially of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your daughter. We ask you, Father in heaven, through your triple blessing, make us more aware of every present moment and how we can come closer to your paternal heart. We ask you to give us the grace also to be more effective servants of holy love, missionary servants, and of the confraternity of the United Hearts. Give us the graces that we need to bring these messages of holy love to others within the world. And may you bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.